Two. Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It's a big week around here. Ravens heading out to Minnesota. We have a new baseball manager that Luke and I are going to get to, and we heard from David Rubenstein on the dais this week. We're also going to be hearing from our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm doing double duty this week on the Crab Cake Tour. Going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. Got some great guests. On Friday, we make our way back to Essex and Pizza John's, where they do have a crab cake, by the way. It's pretty good. But I'll be getting a crinkle cut fries and the gravy and a double provolone cheesesteak and probably a pizza to go because I haven't had a pizza in a long time. We'll also be thanking our friends at GBMC for sponsorship. And later in the month, I have this special medical procedure that I was shamed by a bunch of Italian men at Pappas the other night because they've all said, I had my colonoscopy. You got to get yours. So I am in line as a 15 or something, and people are mad at me because I waited too long. So I just want to say, if you've waited too long, go. Call GBMC, call your doctor, take good care of yourself. It is the season for me to be healthy so I can drink more eggnog, eat more Christmas cookies, and hopefully get this football team back into a position where a six loss would be just as devastating this week, Luke, as it was last week. And as we sit here and talk about this Minnesota team, this feels like a more difficult game than the next couple of games. I don't know one from the other. But I do know I spent a little time out in Minnesota this week talking to some folks, Kevin Seifert on the show, and my dude Paul Allen, just talking about this Vikings team and missing the quarterback, needing the quarterback, and what this is going to be. And the Ravens went out and at least got one member that might chase the quarterback around here by Sunday.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Draymond Jones is going to be on the field. We've already talked about Carl Lawson and the likelihood of him being on the field as he's been on the practice squad for just about 2 weeks at this point in time. John Harbaugh said earlier in the week that he's probably ready to go. So it does change the complexion of their outside linebacker group. But at the same time, you and I were talking about more than just outside linebackers and edge rushers. We were talking about the defensive line. We've been talking about the offensive line. And the Ravens did not make any moves in those departments. Look, I think it's important to, when we're talking about the trade deadline, it's very easy to focus on Quinnen Williams going to the Cowboys, Sauce Gardner going to Indianapolis for two first-round picks. I mean, those are the blockbuster moves that everyone remembers today. Those are the kind of moves that generally speaking, don't work out. I don't think that's going to work out well for the Cowboys in terms of what they've basically netted for Micah Parsons. Quinnen Williams is a really good player. He's not Micah Parsons. And in Indianapolis's case, they just traded two first-round picks. And who's their quarterback again? And look, Daniel Jones is a great story this year, but are they sold on him being their quarterback? Because they're not going to have first-round picks here the next couple years now, right? Or fewer of them. So it's always, who wins the trade deadline in terms of making the splash at that point in time? That's a stark contrast typically from who actually benefits the most from the trade deadline. And in the case of the Ravens, as much as there's fan frustration with Eric DaCosta, and look, you and I have talked about it in recent weeks. I think in hindsight, his offseason hasn't aged very well. I mean, that's stating the obvious when you traded away Jaire Alexander in a salary dump. And Cooper Rush is now the number three emergency quarterback, right? Those were two of their biggest offseason additions, not counting the draft. So I think a lot of
Well, their biggest offseason addition was Hamilton, right? By adding the money to him, right? Not an addition, but like from a financial standpoint,
the
getting
biggest
him
move,
locked
sure.
was like that was the most important thing that they were going to do in the offseason.
But
So I do want to give him credit for that.
in terms of improving their
While Micah
football team.
Parsons is running out the back door to Green Bay, they don't have
Well,
that issue with
yeah.
Kyle Hamilton, right? So
Sure,
there's
sure.
that. Okay.
So, but in terms of improving their football team, in terms of changes, additions, alterations to their roster, right? And the reality is, when you have multiple roster needs or multiple position needs, the trade deadline is not really the place to do that. The offseason is the place to do that. And so that's where we look at this team. And as I'm writing at BaltimorePositive.com, I think the reality is you look at the trenches, both sides of the football in the trenches for this football team. Think it's still too vulnerable in terms of not so much making the playoffs, but the big picture, making a run in January, making a deep run, getting to a Super Bowl, right? Which those goals shouldn't change. Like we don't lower the bar just because they start 1-5. We're realistic about what 1-5 means and what that means for you the rest of the way. But I think acknowledging all of that, Draymond Jones, and let's not forget about Alohi Gilman. Better late than never. I would have liked Alohi Gilman to be acquired or someone like him long before they were 1-4, but they did relatively well for themselves given those two additions. It's not fixing everything that plagues their roster, but they were able to make a couple moves. And I'll point out, look at some of the teams that didn't make moves. I mean, Kansas City, there was so much chatter about the Chiefs adding a running back. They didn't do that. Buffalo, there's been plenty of chatter about what they would do at the trade deadline. They didn't make any moves.
It
Now,
is interesting that there's an expectation for a team to do something. Like if you
sure.
and I were sitting here today and the Ravens did nothing, I don't, you know, there'd be a point to say, well, they are 3-5. How deep do they want to go in?
Well, and I
You know, in
think,
draft picks, right?
yeah, and I think that's an interesting point. I think one reason there was some expectation created here, and I'm not saying this to blame fans by any means, because the Ravens did make some moves here to create some cap space. I mean, when they come out of the trade deadline and they have roughly $14 million in cap space, you kind of say, well, you could have made a move or two. And I think that right there was a tell that Eric DaCosta wanted to be in position to make a bigger move, but sometimes it doesn't come together. Now, if fans want to sit here and be
Maybe
critical,
Quinnen Williams was something that
maybe.
you're right. I mean, like that's the kind of money it would take to bring someone like that on without crushing yourself on the cap. You want to be able to acquire a quality
Right.
player, and then you find out what the price is, and you're like, nah.
Right. And that's, look, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, you wanted to be in position, and they put themselves in position to make a move like that, but it didn't come to fruition. Now, I mean, you look at what the Cowboys gave up. Did you want the Ravens to give up more than that? Because I'm guessing crazy old Jerry Jones probably would have ponied up and increased his offer if anyone else was offering something comparable to that. So that's where you look at this thing and you remember they have a high-priced quarterback. They, to your point, they just made Kyle Hamilton the highest paid safety in the league.
We have a high priced quarterback. It's going to be a higher priced quarterback at the end of this year, right? Like the cap number in the offseason, it becomes priority one, right? Literally.
And that's what they need to address, right? So you look at all of this
Well,
and
that
look.
cap space that's left over will help, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Well, they
Not
need to
this
re
year, next year,
they need to
yes.
read well, yes, they can roll it over, but they need to redo Lamar's deal. I mean, they need to extend him. I mean, that's he can't have a $70+ million cap number. If they can't work that out by the start of free agency, then yeah, you are going to be
Well,
talking
I
about,
the history is he's been wonderful to negotiate with.
well, yeah. So, but again, I understand fans being underwhelmed. I understand fans wanting them to do more. As I said, I don't think Eric DaCosta had a very good offseason. When you chalk everything up and see how everything has played out, certainly you can't account for losing Nnamdi Matabike. But at the same time, you and I talked about them needing more depth with their defensive line. This past draft was considered deep in defensive linemen. They waited till the sixth round to draft Aeneas Peebles. I mean, that blew up in their face. So certainly not a perfect offseason, but at the same time, this is an organization, and I don't need to tell you this, you know this better than I do, having covered the team longer than me. They're going to remain methodical before they turn maniacal when it comes to the trade deadline or whatever they're trying to do. Now, I'll hear saying, hey, well, Philadelphia got Jalen Phillips. They got Jalen Phillips from Miami for a third round pick. The Ravens could have done that. And sure, they could have, or perhaps they looked at Draymond Jones and thought that was a better value for a fifth round pick, potentially, becoming a fourth round pick in a conditional trade that they made. So I think Draymond Jones is a good player. I think he's going to help. He gives them a little more of a physical presence at the edge rusher position. Probably, might be their best run stopper out of that group, especially with Tavius Robinson on IR at the moment. He's someone that has actually played some three technique and defensive line early in his career that maybe they kick him inside in some obvious passing situations and you can run some stunts and things of that nature. And I think there's also a school of thought of adding Draymond Jones. Maybe that takes a little bit off of Mike Green's plate in terms of maybe allows Mike Green to maybe save some of his reps purely for pass rushing situations. And maybe that gives him a little more juice in those situations. So, look, It's not ideal when you look at the state of where this defensive line is and where this offensive line is. I have my concerns about their depth in both of those position groups and in the quality. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. At the same time, you can only make the moves that are out there. And I'll continue to say, did you want the Ravens to give up potentially two first round picks for Quinnen and Williams? I mean, if you did, then fine. Like I'll hear that. And don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying that I wouldn't have given up a first round pick for Quinnen Williams. That's how good of a player he is. But the cost was more than that. So, I mean, the Cowboys gave up a first, a second, and a player, albeit a failed first round pick. I get it.
We
It's
got rid
got.
of our failed first round pick a couple weeks ago.
Sure, sure. And again, I will go back to until I'm blue in the face and say that. From the time that Ardarius Washington got hurt in mid-May, they needed a third safety. They got one, but they got one in week six. If they had Alohi Gilman or someone of comparable stature, comparable play, comparable talent, could that have avoided them? Could they have avoided a 1-4 start? Could they have been 2-3, let's say? And then they'd be in better position. We can argue that, sure. But at the same time, I think you still go back to the offseason and say, did they do enough with their offensive line? Did they do enough with their defensive line from a depth standpoint, given the opportunity that the draft afforded and they decided not to draft a D lineman until the sixth round? That's where I would point my criticism to much more than this trade deadline and specifically what they did or did not do in the final 3 or 4 hours on Tuesday afternoon. So we're going to see how this plays out. I mean, there's still a team that has Lamar Jackson, still has a lot of talent, still has a very favorable schedule, still has won two in a row, and brings it back to your original point, a big game Sunday in Minnesota against the Vikings team that kind of felt dead 10 days ago. And, well, they go on the road and they beat the Lions, and J.J. McCarthy shows some impressive poise when he's barely played in the NFL and coming off of the injury and all the chatter about just how hurt he was or what the Vikings were doing there. Was it a soft benching? Like, no, he was hurt and he gave them some juice this past Sunday. So we'll see what he can do this coming Sunday. And obviously the Ravens need to keep winning, to your
Well, you talk
point.
about an organization going all in. And by the way, Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the internet. My man, Kevin Seifert from ESPN in Minnesota, who I've known 30 years, and we covered baseball together here in the 90s. And, he covers the Vikings up close and has for 30 years. The notion that McCarthy is the chosen one of O'Connell is very sort of indicative of where that franchise is going, is to say, they had other opportunities to bring in other quarterbacks. They could have kept Sam Darnold around and picked him and paid him, that this was hand chosen. And if O'Connell's going to keep his job and going to be the Vikings coach 5 years from now, this is going to have to work out. And, Billick always talked about being tied to the quarterback and all of that, that he's tethered to this guy and getting him back out on the field. I'm concerned about this game just being a road game against a team that's emerging a little bit. And I'm also just concerned in general that I don't think the Ravens are very good. Like, I haven't seen that they're very good. You mentioned soft schedule or advantageous. That kind of ends in a couple of weeks. The soft part of the schedule will go away once December starts, and we're already into November. So they only have a couple of weeks here. And this soft part is where they got to get their season back. And I thought Minnesota was softer 2 weeks ago than it feels to me. They're favored. That's cool. I mean, they have a lot of talent. To your point, they can boat race these NFC teams from time to time. But no pass rush on the quarterback, the inability to really run the ball the way that they wanted to run the ball. Just a lot of sloppiness that led to 3-5 that brings them to your, that I look at it and say, I don't know how they're favored on the road. I mean, I look at it and say, where are the lights for this? We're halfway through the season. Saw them look kind of good in the first half against Buffalo in the first game. And since then, they have not looked at all like the boat racing team that used to go into these NFC places and blow teams out and warranted being favored on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that third quarter in Miami, they came alive there. I mean, they scored touchdowns on the first two drives of the second half. They got a three and out in between those. Lamar had the big scramble. Lamar, and
I'm
to
not
go back.
disputing that, but Miami's probably a 3-14
Oh, of
team. You know what I
course.
mean? Like, yeah.
I got you. Well, I mean, and some of that is you can only you're only playing the team that's on
Yeah,
your schedule.
there's nothing they're going to do that's going to be all that impressive the next 3 weeks. But winning in Minnesota is impressive to me
I
no
was
matter
just
what
going to
they do.
say, if you are talking in those terms, if you are thinking in terms of an eyeball test, I mean, you have a Vikings team that's coming off of a big win, a team that was teetering in terms of what you thought they were going to be. Not that they're all fixed, but they're feeling way better about themselves and they're coming home.
Well, nobody knows
And
what to believe in their quarterback or not,
that's
right? To your
the thing.
point,
And
right?
that right there is why the Ravens are favored. I mean, to break it down very simplistically, I mean, it's not the only reason, but the Ravens have Lamar Jackson and the Vikings have J.J.
Yeah,
McCarthy,
the
right? I
bettors are
mean,
daring J.J. McCarthy to go beat Lamar
yeah,
Jackson on Sunday, right?
exactly.
Yeah.
And obviously they're not facing off one-on-one, but J.J. McCarthy against a Ravens defense that has played better the last few weeks. I fully acknowledge that, and Alohi Gilman is a big part of that, and they're hoping that Draymond Jones can help make it a little bit better, in terms of their pass rush and everything. But yeah, I think this is an opportunity for the Ravens to not just get another win, which they obviously need, but of the next few weeks anyway, because you talk about after that, you go to Cleveland. Cleveland has sold off some more parts. That's still a bad football team, albeit an AFC North opponent that you shouldn't take for granted ever, because the Ravens have learned their lesson. You hope the last few years with still having lost a couple games against Cleveland, and then the Jets, who were already horrendous, and then just traded two of their best players on Tuesday. So, but of that stretch, yeah, this Minnesota game is a bigger test. I wouldn't say it worries me in the sense that, oh my gosh, like the mighty, mighty Vikings, but in the sense that, yeah, you need to go on the road and play well. Like you're playing a team that was a playoff team a year ago. To your point, Kevin O'Connell has this reputation for being a quarterback whisperer, right? I mean, that's been talked about. You and I've talked about that in the past, even. And they decided to let Sam Darnold go. And by the way, Sam Darnold's playing MVP caliber football in Seattle right now. I mean, he's been really, really good for them. So the spotlight and Kevin O'Connell, he's under the microscope that this JJ McCarthy thing needs to work, right? I mean, and granted, they drafted McCarthy before Darnold had the season he had last year, right? I mean, they drafted him and then he got hurt as a rookie. But they're under their microscope for that. There's no question. So they have plenty of skin in the game to make sure that JJ McCarthy is everything that they hope he can be. Certainly, he has an impressive pedigree from college and what he did at Michigan, but he's got what? Just a couple career starts under his belt. So it is going to be interesting to see how he plays after not a spectacular performance, but I would say a poised performance he had against the Lions this past Sunday. So what does that look like? And what can Zach Orr and this defense cook up against him, right? I mean, when you're talking about sim pressure or simulated pressures and pre-snap deception and disguising your coverage and things of that nature, you'd like to think that you can do a better job confusing him than Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or some of these
Aaron
established
Rodgers in
guys.
2 weeks,
Right.
3 weeks,
Yeah,
right?
sure, exactly. So, yeah, this is a huge game. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if that's why I've said to you, you've talked a lot about the Ravens come December. They're 7-7, whatever they not. And I've said to you, they need to be better than 7-7 because that final month is much more challenging on
Well, they
paper,
better be
right?
4-5 on Sunday because that's all they can be, right?
Right, exactly. And that's really how you have to view it. I mean, as much as it's coach speak and cliche, right? You do have to compartmentalize. You can't fix 1-5 with. No matter how great the performance is, right? You can't, to your point, you can't turn 3-5 into 7-5, no matter how many points you potentially could win by on Sunday. No, just win, right?
I might pick
And
against them just to dare them to win, at this point. They this would be the impressive part where I believe that they can play in January again. I'll believe that when they can win 3 in a row on the
sure.
road, which even against bad teams or whatever. I don't think Minnesota's a bad team at all, which is why this week trips me up and scares me more than any of them do. This
That's
month for
fair.
sure. I'll
Yeah.
buy that they'll win the rest of the month. I don't think they're going to stumble against the Jets or the Browns, and I think that they should be able to handle their own against the Cincinnati team with no defense. They should at least be able to run the ball enough to keep it out of Flacco's hands. So I feel like the rest of the month, I'm a big believer that there are 3 wins left in this calendar month. They just need to make sure it's 4, because 3 wouldn't be good enough.
Fair. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about that. I mean, you get to a point where you can keep projecting out what you think this team could be, what you think this team is going to be, or you just say, go win a football game against, I mean, the Vikings. I'm in agreement with you. I don't think the Vikings are bad, but I don't know how good they are either, right? I certainly don't think they're great. So, yeah, if
I
you
think
are a
it's hell on
playoff,
their offense to go up there and play. And I think
sure.
this will be as big of a challenge for the offense in operating in that environment with the quarterback, with where they are, with there'll be no Raven fans there. It's not gonna feel like Miami did last week. It'll be purple, but people be breathing down on them on Sunday. And I'm telling you, that place is a hellhole to play. I've been in
Yeah.
that building 3 or 4 times, and I've been in there when the Vikings have been good, but I just have a feeling it's going to be a long day for the Ravens offense on Sunday if that offensive line isn't doing what we're not sure it's capable of doing. By the way, how's Ronnie Stanley? How's the offensive line? I know we're a couple days out on this, and you'll be there rest of the week, but like that's a bigger question for me than most of this is just in general, the offensive line has to kind of improve, not get injured, not be a tattered part of their team in the next 3 or 4 weeks. It has to be a strong part of their team.
Yeah, I mean, you want to see them be more physical. I mean, we talked about it in the aftermath of the Miami game. Look, you can go, someone who didn't watch the game, you can look at the final numbers and say, hey, Derrick Henry had a big night. Hey, they ran the ball. They averaged whatever yards per carry it was. It looked really, really good from a box score standpoint. But we all know they didn't run the ball worth jack for 2.5 quarters, right? It wasn't until they had already grown a 2-score lead in the third quarter. That and it kind of felt like Miami had given up at that point. They didn't start popping runs until then. I mean, Derrick Henry, I think, was 11 carries for 34 yards, his first 11 carries of the ball game. So they've got to be better. They've got to be better on first down. They've got to be better running the ball in the first half when it's a game neutral situation. Okay, if you can run the ball when you have a lead, great. You'll protect the lead, but that still needs to be part of their identity to build leads, right? I mean, you don't want to put too much on Lamar Jackson, especially understanding that this offensive line's not great in pass protection either. So that's still a part of the game they need to unlock. I've said it to you. I really think, as much as I'd love to sit here and wish this offensive line to be more physical, I still think part of the formula could be to spread teams out a little more and run from three wide receiver sets, run from four wide receiver sets
Pat
sometimes.
Ricard.
Well, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about here. I think part of the issue is they're trying to be heavy and physical. I just don't think they're very good at it. So I think there's something to be said for spreading out the opposition, get them out of a situation. If you come out in three wide receivers or four wide receivers, and again, I'm not saying every single play, but more of that, you force a team to get out of putting eight men in the box because they're not going to leave wide receivers uncovered. I mean, Lamar Jackson, pretty good quarterback, right? To state the obvious. So I kind of wonder if the idea is to spread them out a little bit more and try to run that way. And then you can loosen up a defense in that regard and then maybe come back to running from some of the heavier formations and what have you. So they've got to figure that out. I mean, and that's one thing about the Minnesota defense. They shut down an excellent running game. I mean, Detroit with Gibbs and Montgomery, I mean, that's the best running back duo in the NFL, and go look at their numbers. They did next to nothing, and they're playing at home. So it's going to be a challenge. And I think what's going to be key for this Ravens offense, they have to be good on first down. You have to get yourselves in second and short, third and short, right? If you're in third and long playing in that building with that crowd noise
With
and
that offensive line trying to
with,
pass
well,
protect.
and Brian Flores and that defense, the way they want to get after you and blitz and do different things in that regard, that's where. There aren't many situations where I don't love my chances with Lamar Jackson, but that set of variables, I don't love that. Not that Lamar can't make plays and still do amazing things, but you don't want to make things too difficult for him. So that's going to be a challenge. And I still think they're being able to run the ball is going to be critical for them. And Minnesota, I will say this. I mean, prior to this past Sunday, they'd had their issues stopping the run, so you don't want to make too much of one game in the same way that Miami looked great against Atlanta, but if you looked at their previous, what, six games or whatever it was, they were horrendous. So which team showed up more so last Thursday night? The team through the first five, six games. But it's a team that's going to be feeling good about themselves, and they're going to have confidence, and they're playing at home, and that crowd's going to be fired up. Oh, coming off of a big win over a division rival, so it is going to be interesting in that way. So we're going to see how it plays out. To bring it back to, again, the aftermath of the trade deadline, I do like the Draymond Jones acquisition. I think he can help. I don't think he's a game changer that's going to like move the needle dramatically, but I think he can be part of the equation there. So, they need their defense to play sound football. They need to be, they've certainly have become this bend but don't break, and they've gotten way better at the not breaking part when you consider how they've played inside the red zone and on third down these last few weeks compared to earlier in the season. But they're still a team that still has its flaws on defense, and that begins with not being able to get after the quarterback. So, in the case of McCarthy, you'd like to pressure him, but I would also say he can move too. He can run. He's not Lamar, obviously, but he can get out of the pocket and he can extend plays and he can take off on you. And that's the kind of quarterback that has given the Ravens some problems this year. So, we're going to see how that plays out. It's a really interesting matchup in that way. I mean, I expect the Ravens to win. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm picking the Vikings, but at the same time, I'm not sitting here expecting that it's going to be this easy game that they're going to win by three touchdowns or anything like that. I mean, the Vikings, they've got some juice and they still have a lot of talent. The quarterback's the big question mark for them, obviously, but their defense has gotten a little bit healthier, and you saw what their defense can do to a really good offense this past week playing on the road. So you can only imagine what it could look like playing in their own building. So Ravens, just they have to find a way to be better in early down situations. If they repeat their first half performance that they had against Miami, they'll be in trouble. There's no doubt about that.
They'll be losing.
They've got to come out of the gate much better offensively. And again, that starts with an offensive line that I don't have a great degree of confidence in beyond Tyler Linderbaum. And if Ronnie Stanley's healthy, which I think he is, he got through this pass game and that was the first time he'd done that in a month. So that was good to see. But is that going to continue? That's still one of the big stories for this football team as we get into the second half of the season.
It's a question about giving the fifth round draft pick away, whether you'd rather have Zeitler or whether you'd rather have Draymond Jones, right? Like, and from Tennessee specifically, and to say why they didn't try to upgrade the offensive line, I don't know. But I mean, the defense was certainly much more in need, especially after Oway went out, right? Like, so I'm not shocked. I thought they'd make more moves, though. I did. I mean, they've added two defensive players, but also eliminated Odafe Oway in that addition part of the last month when they made the deal. I'm not underwhelmed by the trade deadline part of it, and I'm also cognizant that they're 3-5, that they are going to play with what they got at this point, right? I mean, that's really the truth, right?
And again, as I said, I think you saw the moves that they made to clear some cap space. I think they had themselves in position to make a bigger move, but you make the move that you feel one is available to you, and two, you feel is going to be a net positive for you, not just for the rest of the season, but moving forward. As we've said, when you have a quarterback, when you have a safety, when you have a linebacker, when you have all these different, left tackle who's making $20 million a year, when you have all these high price big contracts, you do have to be mindful about where your money's going to go. And also, you need to be mindful about how valuable draft picks are going to be for you, right? And I know fans don't want to hear that at the trade deadline, but that it is Eric DaCosta's responsibility, just like any other general manager, to maintain long-term health as well.
Well, the Zeitler thing, because of his contract, they would have lost a sandwich pick, right?
I mean the compensatory. I'm less moved by that part of it, but I would just say in general, how many offensive linemen got traded? Not many. Trevor Penning was one of them, and he's not considered to be very good at all, right? I mean the Chargers are desperate for a were desperate for a couple, a warm body, considering they just lost the guy that replaced their left tackle from training camp, who was their right tackle and was playing left tackle. Now he's done for the year too. So when you're talking about situations like that, you're so desperate that you kind of need anyone with a pulse, right? But Trevor Penning's not good. I mean, he's not. So, I get it. And I'm not going to sit here and I'm not giving the Ravens two thumbs up and doing cartwheels about what they did at the trade deadline when, as I said, I've been saying since mid-May that they needed a third safety. I would have preferred not to have to give up an edge rusher to get that said third safety, although Alohi Gilman's played well for them. Alohi Gilman at this point still could end up being one of the best. Wasn't a deadline acquisition in the sense that it was 2 days before the deadline, but an in-season trade. That's still looking
I'm
like that.
already thumbs up on that deal. I
Yeah.
mean, I notice him. He's making plays.
It was I'm thumbs up on him. I guess for me it was you were 1-4 when you did that, right? They needed a third safety from the moment Ardarius Washington got hurt. And instead they went and got Jaire Alexander, and that was an utter failure, right? So again, frustration about the trade deadline, I think, should be more appropriately directed towards what was an underwhelming offseason. You know, what few resources they had, I'm not sure they used very well. Cooper Rush, right? I mean, Cooper Rush and Jaire Alexander, I mean, that was $8 million. They kind of lit on fire, right? And they recouped $2 million of the Alexander, you know, by dumping his salary and creating a little bit of cap space. But, you know, again, you kind of go down this list and Quinnen Williams would have been great. But like I said, how much were you willing to give up for him? It
Not
was
that much.
at least a 1 and a 2, right? And again, Jerry Jones probably going to pony up more than that, you know, if there's another team bidding it to that degree. So if it had been a 1, I think I would have done that. More than that, you know, Eric DaCosta is not going to do that, whether you wanted him to or not. So we're going to see how this plays out. This team still has a lot of really talented football players, and it just feels like this year, more so than the last few years, you know, not counting the Ronnie Stanley injury years, but you know, go back like last year before that, 2019, although that was certainly a different iteration of the Ravens at that point in time. They were much younger, and
Except for Marshall.
yeah, but a much different roster makeup even. I mean, you think how much this team has changed in 6 years.
Better wide receivers now.
Sure. Oh, no doubt. But I think this year they fall more into the category of I'll buy them being able to win the division. Not saying it's guaranteed, but I'll buy that. I'll buy them making the playoffs. I have a tough time buying the state of their offensive and defensive lines being good enough for them to make a deep, deep run in January. But I will continue to say this until I'm blue in the face. And I've said this many times over the years. The 2012 Ravens did not look like a team that was well equipped to make a deep run in December. I mean, they had fired their offensive coordinator, for goodness sake, right? I mean, they had lost 4 of their last 5 and they got hot. So is this team capable of getting hot if they get into January and Lamar exercises demons in the way that Josh Allen's still trying to do in Buffalo? We'll see, right? I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say it can't happen. I mean, this AFC still feels very open, right? I mean, as much as we talk, you know, I can keep talking about Kansas City with the eyeball test. They're 5-4. I mean, they've got to get there first. Buffalo, they're a wild card right now, right? I mean, it's a really different looking AFC right now, and that's where I think it's fascinating. I don't like the price that they paid, but it's fascinating that Indianapolis went and got Sauce Gardner. Now, the question for me is Daniel Jones going to continue to play like this, or is he going to turn back into a pumpkin? And then you're going to say, oh my gosh, we just gave away 2 first-round picks and we don't have a franchise quarterback long term, right? So I think that's where that was such an interesting move. But hey, it's trades are fun, you know? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and begrudge action, you know, but I'll certainly look at some of these deals and say, you know, in some cases, I think you're going to see some pretty heavy buyer's remorse. Quinnen Williams is a great player. I don't know what the Cowboys are doing, right? I mean,
Well, I mean, that's been 4 decades of
sure,
that, so.
3 decades, right? I mean, it's. I don't know. I don't think you have Netflix, but Netflix did a documentary on Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. It was like 6 parts.
You mean
Really good.
Jerry did a
Well,
documentary on Jerry?
it was. It
Yeah,
was
but I
well.
just want to be honest,
No,
right?
but it was well done, and it is amazing to kind of see what they were in the late '80s. Through the mid 90s, and just how bad it's been ever since. I mean, you have this dynasty, and
Luke,
you're
let me
so.
ask you a question. Who's making more money than me? Who's making more money? Who knows how to make money?
Oh, well, I mean,
Well,
the
that's it.
joke's
That's
on
it.
the rest of us, right?
That
But
is the joke on the rest.
so, I mean, that was a huge trade. I mean, that was the guy that a lot of Ravens fans had talked about. But like I said, a first round pick, sure. Like I said, Quinnen Williams is a great player. You weren't going to get him for a third round pick. So I would have been willing to do that, you know, but you look at the price that Dallas paid first, the second, and Mozzie Smith, a former Former first round pick, albeit not a good one. I mean, a guy that's kind of, I think he's even been a healthy scratch for them here in recent weeks. But were you going to give up more than that to land
No.
Quinnen Williams? I
Well,
think
that's
that's
why
I think that's tough.
it's very obvious why Quinnen Williams isn't here. And if I knew DaCosta anymore, we were the friends that we used to be, I would just text him and say, "Where you went on him?" He'd say, "Yeah, I want it." That's why we had the cap space. We thought we had a shot. And it's like you think you got a shot to draft somebody, and the team in front of you picks them. That's it.
I think that for me, the only move that was made that felt like, okay, the Ravens could have done that. I mean, they could have sent Miami a third round pick for Jalen Phillips, like Philadelphia did. Is Jalen Phillips better than Draymond Jones? I mean, he's more of a household name. That said, I think Draymond Jones could be a nice, sneaky, versatile piece for them. It's not going to turn their pass rush into this great pass rush. Let's be clear. I think you have to understand what he is. He's a good complimentary kind of player. He's not Terrell Suggs, right? But I think he was a nice player.
I hope he's Jared Johnson.
And I would also say, like, Jalen Phillips. I mean, Jalen Phillips isn't Lawrence Taylor, right? I mean, we're not talking, he's not Micah Parsons. So we're gonna see how this plays out. Again, I get it. I'm not wasn't overwhelmed by what happened, and certainly would have liked to have seen a defensive tackle. I think for me, that was probably my biggest wish because they're so thin on the D line. They have one more injury there, then I think that group could be kind of ugly, down the stretch if they have to stay healthy there at this point. I mean, you cannot afford to absorb another injury there. I mean, with already losing Madubuike and Broderick Washington's gone long term, probably out for the year. So it's tough. But again, trade deadline is not the time that's going to cure all of your roster
Well, when
woes,
you're
right?
3-5,
Maybe,
especially. When you're
may,
6-2,
yeah.
you pick up a piece, right?
Well, but
Literally.
usually when you're 6-2, you're not going to have multiple issues with your roster, right? You might have one, right? And look, the Ravens, they added a safety, they added an edge guy. Again, I would have loved a defensive tackle in a perfect world. I would have loved to bring back Kevin Zeitler. But again, offensive line, I've said it. And another part of this, look how many teams truly ended up being sellers. Not that many. I've said it. You look at the state of the AFC and the NFC. I mean, the Ravens, they're in 10th place in the AFC. And we're talking about them in terms of, like, not that it's a foregone conclusion that they'll be in the playoffs, but that they have a great
We
chance.
call them a contender.
But you look at all these other teams, especially teams that aren't very smart, they'll talk themselves into anything in terms of, like, an optimistic outlook. That's why this is damning them with praise, let's be clear. I actually commend the Jets for just saying we're losing games with Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams as it is, and they're expensive, and we can get some assets, and maybe it'll be different this time, but we're clearly going nowhere right now. So what's the point of keeping these guys around? So they were smarter in that way. In contrast to the Cowboys, who are out of it and they stink, and then they just gave up assets for Quinnen Williams, and it's like, I don't know how this is really going to help you that much here over the next year or two, but well, hey, you got Quinnen Williams. You got a really good defensive tackle, so good for you.
Luke Jones is here. We got a really good Oriole and Ravens insider. He was doing Orioles things at the warehouse on Tuesday. We will talk Oriole baseball, and Craig Albernaz and David Rubenstein appeared in front of the media, not me, but the media at the warehouse. So we'll have some baseball stuff here. We will not be talking a lot of baseball here in the coming weeks and months. There'll be a lot of football around here. My friends at Curio Wellness have sponsored our 27th anniversary and my tastiness treats. I should extend it to a holiday version to go to all the holiday eggnogs that I'll be going through here the next couple of weeks. But big appreciation to our friends at Curio Wellness. I'll get Wendy back on the show as well. I'm wearing my Curio gear here as I get my purple out. Also, speaking of purple, these Ravens scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery are purple. I'll be giving these away on Wednesday at Coco's. On Friday, we'll be back at Pizza John's in Essex. We're also putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road through the holidays. And we've been doing a lot of stuff in December. I have the month kind of free and open. We're going to go to some new places we haven't been, go back to some old places we've only been once or twice, and pick up the conversation as we move toward the holidays. And hopefully there is a football season that continues after Sunday in Minnesota. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.